Shalom, this is Yahya Davidi from New Bambi, Brit Am Broadcasting Israel. We are recording for Kosher 101.9, a radio around the world. Kosher 101.9 goes out from Carlsbad in New Mexico. We ourselves are situated in Jerusalem. And this recording is especially prepared for Kosher Radio. This is the beginning of a series of talks concerning the Lost Ten Tribes and their present-day identity. The present talk will give a short overall view of the subject, and in future talks we will go into more detail on specific points. For more details on these matters concerning the Lost Ten Tribes and for background reading material, it is recommended that you visit our website www.britam.org, and there you will find plenty of material and much more of the substance of what this following talk is based upon. Originally there were 12 tribes. They were united in one kingdom under King Solomon, who built the temple. When Solomon died, his son Rehoboam became king in his stead and continued to rule. 10 of the tribes were dissatisfied with the way Rehoboam was handling things. Rehoboam is Rehoboam in English, in the English translation of the Bible. Rehoboam or Rehoboam in Hebrew, in modern Hebrew. And Rehoboam did not find favor with a good portion of the people, who requested that he reform himself, that he lighten the tax load on his subjects. He refused, so 10 of the northern tribes rebelled and they set up their own kingdom. The own kingdom of northern Israel. In this kingdom there were 10 tribes. 10 out of the 12 tribes rebuilt and set up their own kingdom. In the Bible, this kingdom, this separate entity, is referred to as the kingdom of Israel. The kingdom of Israel was distinct from the kingdom of Judah, which remained loyal to Rehoboam. 2 of the tribes remained loyal to Rehoboam. These 2 tribes were Judah and Benjamin. Later, a good portion of the Levites, who had been scattered throughout all the other tribes, they too returned to the southern kingdom. And in addition to them, to these Levites, there were others from the northern tribes who also in some way or other joined themselves to the Rehoboam, or the descendants of Rehoboam, to the southern kingdom. But even so, they were a minority. They were a minority out of all the rest of the tribes, and most of the 10 tribes remained separate. The present-day Jews are descended from the southern kingdom, from subjects of the southern kingdom in which Judah was the dominant party, and therefore the kingdom was named Judah after him. Benjamin was also present, so were the Levites, and so were a representative minority of all the other tribes. To repeat, the majority of the other tribes were separate. They were a separate kingdom, referred to variously in the Bible as the Kingdom of Israel or as Samaria and other names. And this northern kingdom was conquered by the Assyrians, and all of its subjects were exiled, and they disappeared. They became known to history and to biblical students as the Lost Ten Tribes of Israel. Both the Bible and secular evidence tells us where the Lost Ten Tribes went to. Biblical proofs include those places that the prophets said the Lost Ten Tribes would be found in the end days, in the end times. From a geographical perspective, we should also remember, before we go on, another important point, that all the different proofs that we use have to be seen as part of an overall whole, as a comprehensive total. We look for compound evidence, where one proof reinforces the other. where when you find one proof, it cannot contradict another proof. In other words, one cannot take an individual proof and disconnect it from the total amount of evidence that we are adducing. Each and every point that we make has to be seen as part of a whole, as part of the whole body of evidence, as connected to the whole body of evidence, and as needed to be considered in its context, which is the rest of the evidence. So, for instance, the lost, one of the prophets frequently speak about the lost tribes of Israel, or they give points referring to Israel, and from rabbinical and commentaries and the contextual examination, we see that the reference is to the lost tribes of Israel rather than to Judah. And they frequently say the lost ten tribes are to be found at the Katzei Aretz, at Katzvot Aretz, at the ends of the earth, at the geographical extremities of the continents. That is what ends of the earth means, especially when, as we find in Yechezkel, the land of Israel is considered the center of the earth. So ends of the earth mean geographical extremities. And therefore we say that one, a good portion of lost tribes, according to this proof alone, must be found in the geographical extremities. But then someone can come and give us counter evidence and say that not every geographical extremity is there to be found lost members of the descendants of Israel within. So therefore we say not only must they be found at geographical extremities to a significant degree, but also they must fit the other criteria, the other biblical proofs that the prophets give. We identify the lost ten tribes with the descendants of the inhabitants of the British Isles. British Isles, most of them are British Isles themselves, at the ends of the earth. One of the names of England means Angleterre in French, which has been explained. It was explained in the Middle East, in the Middle Ages, it was explained in the Middle Ages to mean ends of the earth. America, if you look at on a map, is considered at the ends of the earth, is a geographical extremity. When you take the land of Israel, the Middle East as a point of reference, Australia and New Zealand, the descendants of people from the British Isles are to be found. Also, areas that can be considered ends of the earth. Scandinavia, Holland, Belgium, France, and similar areas also are at the geographical extremities of the earth. We find other places such as Japan or Eastern Siberia and so on, or Argentina, which also fit this geographical extremity. They also can be described as being at the ends of the earth, but we said that these other peoples are not descended from lost tribes. They are not descendants of Israel. They are not the people who the prophets were referring to. For historical reasons, for other reasons, because they don't fit a certain criteria which we have fixed, which we will discuss later. And also because they do not fit in with the other indications given in the prophecy as to where the lost ten tribes will be. In other words, we cannot take an individual proof and consider it divorced from the rest of the proofs. Each proof must be considered in its own right, but also as part of a comprehensive whole, and any potential applicant, anyone that we think potentially could be descended from lost tribes according to this proof, must also be proven by the other proofs that the Bible brings and that secular evidence confirms. It was Isaiah in 41:9. Also talks about the lost tribes being at the ends of the earth. And he says not only though they will be the ends of the earth, but they will be at the best places of the earth. In the King James Bible, this is translated as chief men. The word atzilaya in Hebrew is translated in the King James Bible as in the lost tribes and the chief men thereof. This is a mistranslation. simple meaning, according to the Hebrew, is that Isaiah says that the lost tribes will be at the ends of the earth and in the best places thereof. In other words, at the ends of the earth, in areas which are conducive, which are healthy, where people can live, and which were a source of blessing in their own right, which rules out places like Antarctica or Eastern Siberia and similar areas, which are also at the extremities, geographical extremities of the world. And incidentally, all of these points, as we will show later, as it will come here to be seen, when we say that they refer specifically to the lost 10 tribes and not to Judah. So the Judah is indeed spoken of quite frequently in the Bible, and possibly most of the Bible speaks about Judah. Nevertheless, a good portion of it speaks about the lost 10 tribes, and we decide which portions speak of the lost 10 tribes and which do not, from the context, from the Hebrew Bible, but also from rabbinical interpreters, or from Talmudic sources, or Midrashim, or similar sources of evidence, which you will see, which prove themselves, which accord, not only do they accord with the literal text, but they show that even Jewish tradition itself knew that the lost 10 tribes were still lost, that eventually they will return, that their identity is not generally known. And they affirmed which biblical passages refer to them. And we are using these indications of theirs. And just bear with me, you'll get used to the way I speak, you'll get used to the way to our evidence. It might sound a bit rough, a bit who knows what. But as we go along, you will see that everything ties in together, everything fits into a perfect overall picture. And it proves itself, it reinforces itself. You will be convinced, as I became convinced through decades of research in this field, and others who followed in our footsteps, others who followed after us and went through our own sources and through sources of our own, also corroborated our findings. So all this will become clear, bears God willing, in the course of time, as these talks proceed. It was also said that the lost 10 tribes would be in isles, or chiefly in isles, or in isles of the sea. This is a point which is frequently found in Isaiah, and it is quite important. It was said that the lost 10 tribes would return from in ships of Tarshish, in planes. Incidentally, it was said they would return in planes as the birds in the sky, or returning to their dovecots, or as the clouds they would fly. But it was also said that they would be brought back in the ships of Tarshish, and we will show that the ships of Tarshish, in biblical terminology, meant ships plying the North Atlantic Ocean. In other words, ships from the North Sea area, where the shipping from North America, Britain, and the Netherlands predominates. It was said that a good portion of the lost tribes would be in the west. Hosea mentions this quite expressly, Hosea 11, verse 9 and 10. There he speaks of Ephraim. Ephraim is another name for the lost tribes. Ephraim was the principal the leading element amongst the lost tribes, and also frequently in the biblical terminology in the scripture, Ephraim is a term given overall, which is applied overall to all of the lost tribes together, but it can also mean the specific tribe of Ephraim on its own. All events will share says that Ephraim, lost tribes, will be in the west. It also mentions that they will light fires in the isles as signals, which the inhabitants of Britain did until quite recently. It says in Isaiah 49 that there would be the lost tribes on the whole would be in the northwest. Also, not only in the northwest, as Isaiah say, but Isaiah adds that they shall also be in the land of Sinim. The land of Sinim, as we shall see, refers to Australia and New Zealand, and that is where a certain portion of those tribes are to be found. And this brings us to a point that we have an element of logic here. If the Lost Tribes are to be found in Australia and New Zealand, now they could, in theory, it could be referring to the Aborigines or to the Maoris in those places, to the native inhabitants, but it's not, and we will see why it is not, because those native peoples do not fulfill the other points of evidence, they do not fulfill the criteria, which we shall return to. So it must refer to the people who came after them, the present inhabitants, especially since most of prophecy is referring to the latter days, and we can assume that that we are getting close to the latter days. We're not saying it is coming tomorrow or the next day, though it might. We don't know when it's going to happen, and we can say that the chances are that we are quite close to it, and that a good portion of prophecy is referring to our own time. So the Lost Tribes must be amongst the present inhabitants of Australia and New Zealand, and 80% of the inhabitants of Australia and New Zealand today are from the British Isles, and from related peoples as well. And if they are descended from the Lost Tribes of Israel, so too stands the reason so too must their relations overseas, their cousins or their second cousins or their third cousins, or the people who not so a few generations ago lived in the same house and belonged to the same family as themselves. In other words, the people in Britain or in North America. And we find other evidence which indicates Britain and North America. And this is a principle that we should use throughout. Wherever we find a certain indication, we should, unless there's evidence to the contrary, as in one case there is, as we shall see too. If there's evidence to the contrary, we can assume that by extension it also refers to the peoples that the proof who are related to those who the evidence applies to. Jeremiah, chapter 3, talks about the Lost Tribes being in the north country, and of Judah and Benjamin, in other words, the present-day Jews, going unto them and telling them to come back in the end times. Which is, incidentally shows us that the prophets emphasized over and over again that the Lost Tribes would not be part of Judah, that they would be separate. But the Judah would go and be instrumental in bringing them back, and that this would happen in the end times, and until the end times it would be a separate entity. It says that they would be on the thighs of the earth, or in peninsulas, in many waters. The Lost Tribes were destined to be in many waters. They were destined to be a powerful people. As it says in Numbers chapter 24, that they would be a powerful people, a world power, ruling in many waters. So today, first we have North America, we have the USA, supplemented by the naval forces of Britain and France, and not so long ago it was actually Britain who ruled the waves. Now America does that, and now America has a basis in many waters. And this, and the bases, naval bases, and strategic points as part of a world power, as part of a world power policy, as part of a foreign policy, as part of a deliberate course of action, is something which was characteristic of the British in the past, and now it is characteristic of North America. And this too was prophesied would be a point of identification for the Lost Ten Tribes, especially for Joseph in the end times. In chapter 1, there is only one chapter in Abijah, in the book of Abijah, verse 20, the second last verse, it says that the Lost Ten Tribes will be in Zarephath. It says this in the Hebrew. We will have to go through the verse word by word. At a later stage, you can also see in more detail, if you so wish, at the present, on our website. At all events, this verse says quite expressly that the Lost Tribes in the end time would be in Zarephath. was a rapace, and Jewish commentators such as Rashi and Nachmanides and others said that here it is referring to the lost 10 tribes who in the end times would be in France, according to another commentary, to in both France and England together, who they say, or to France and the northern part of Europe, and all events in that general area centered around France, and also including Britain and the northern areas. That specific area was picked out to become, to be in the end times, a center of the lost tribes of Israel. Jeremiah 31 speaks of a pathway of signs of certain pillars and of some type of indications of migrations that the lost tribes will have set up, and we will show that this is a pathway of the dolmens or megalithic monuments that were set up after the Assyrians exiled the people of Israel, and the people of Israel had set up and began to set up these monuments whilst they were still within the land of Israel, and afterwards when they went to the north and to the west, they continued to set up these megalithic monuments, and these monuments do show a path of migration of these people, which leads back from the west to the Middle East, and proves that these people are from the lost tribes of Israel. It says that the lost tribes would be symbolized by a lion and a unicorn, which is the symbol of Britain. Look it up. Numbers chapter 24, verse 8 and 9. It also says the lost tribes would rule over other peoples, and so we have the British, we had the French, Dutch, and then we had nowadays we have the Americans and the French, and who rule over other peoples, or at least exert their authority and their influence in quite a persuasive manner over a good portion of the world to some degree. And this was what was prophesied would be a distinguishing sign of the seed of Israel, of Ephraim, and of the seed of Joseph in general. It says that the lost tribes would be a light unto the nations, that they would enlighten the other nations and lift them up. This is found in Isaiah, and it's confirmed by rabbinical thought and teaching, which we will talk about at another time. But this was a fundamental principle. We find this in the book of Genesis, we find it throughout, we find it repeated in Isaiah and the other prophets, that the lost tribes would be a determining influence amongst the Gentiles, so lose their identity, they would become like the Gentiles, and they would lift the Gentiles up from within, and they would help to civilize the nations, the heathen nations of the world, and this is what they have done, despite whatever criticisms, whatever claims may be made against them, relatively speaking, compared to other nations. They were humane, and they had a humanizing influence on the whole amongst all peoples of this world. We have several other points. It says that they will be distinct from Judah, and that in the end times they will recognize Judah. They will recognize the truth of Judah. Look it up in Brachus, Genesis 48, chapter 8. Sorry, Genesis 49, verse 8. And also in Isaiah 11, 12, 13. Where we see once again that the lost tribes would be distinct from Judah. Ephraim would be distinct from Judah until the end times. It says that the lost tribes would be enormous, that they would be an enormous multitude of peoples, that they would be one of the major population elements in this world, and so they are. If you follow, as our findings indicate, that, and so they are. They are an immense multitude. They number hundreds of millions of people, and this is what was prophesied would be. And it is what happened. It says also say there are indications that the lost tribes in the end times will be practicing and not will not be Jews in according to the religion, and will be practicing another type of religion, and then this religion would be Christianity. We'll get back to this point. Incidentally, we are not dealing with the religion task in this world. The task is not to persuade people to become Jews, or not to persuade them of the truth of Judaism, or not to speak against Christianity. We're just telling the truth as we understand it, and we are trying very hard not to get into religious discussions or theological debates or anything of that nature. We will point out in the future that the Bible does indicate that lost Gentiles will be practicing a type of religion, and the distinguishing points of this religion can only be referring to Christianity. In other words, it says especially the lost Gentiles will be Christians in the end times. We're not just saying that this is what they should be, we're saying this is what they will be, according to prophecy. Lost Gentiles will also link up with Goma. Goma is a name of a group of European nations, and we shall return to this in the book of Hosea. It repeats this and goes into it in some detail, chapters 1 and 2 of the book of Hosea. As we said before, they would possess astrologic thoroughfares, astrologic points all over the world, and this is what was prophesied would be a distinguishing mark of them, that they would possess the gates of their enemies, or the gates of those who hate them. This was one of the blessings which were given unto them and which they fulfilled. There are also indications that the descendants of David would rule over them, and this too is fulfilled, or maybe assumed to be to have been the reality, according to historical evidence, which we shall return to. Mentions that they shall be known as the Brit Am. Brit Am, literally meaning a confederation of peoples, and I think that is how it is translated in the King James Bible. In Hebrew it says Brit Am, and in the Middle Ages, Brit An was sometimes referred to as Britannia, which is, in other words, as Brit Am. This is saying expressly, if you want to read it that way, to read the Hebrew that way, the lost tribes would be in the Isle of Britain towards the end times. We also have numerous other proofs. We have the names of tribes, we have the names of different peoples. Mentioned in the Bible, we have 70 sons of Jacob, sons and grandsons of Jacob, who went down to Egypt when Joseph ruled over it, and then they came out of Egypt, and they all were in the same the names of these sons and grandsons were those of tribes and of tribal clans within the tribes, and we find these clan names repeated later historical elements as entities known in history who settled in specific areas where additional evidence points to the tribe to which these clan names pertain having been present in the same areas where we find these clan names. And it goes on, and we will go on, and we will add to this, and we will bring in hundreds of proofs. And then now, in this talk, we were concentrated on the biblical evidence, and we will return to it. We'll give you more evidence, many more points, and we'll go into these points in detail. In addition to that, we also have secular proofs. We will go into secular proofs, which also prove it, which also prove our case. With the secular evidence confirms the biblical proofs. Secular evidence consists of rabbinical sources that not only confirm that certain verses that are referring to Israel in the end times pertain to the lost 10 tribes, but they also bring evidence of their own, as we shall see. We have archaeological evidence of similarities between peoples we find in the West, in Western Europe, who we have similarities between the findings of these peoples and those that prevailed in certain artifacts and certain weaponry and different points of building, which was known in the Middle East, and especially in the land of, in the area of Israel. We will find the proofs from the linguistics, similarities in the, between the languages of Wales, of Scotland and Ireland, and in Hebrew, even in English. And in Scandinavian tongues, we find traces of Hebrew influences of, in ancient times, the peoples having spoken a Hebrew tongue, and the linguistic traces of this still being present. As we said, we will find the names of historical tribal entities, which are similar to those of Israelite entities, and in each individual case, additional evidence when we go into the characteristics of these entities and of the customs and, and their own legends, we will find a confirmation of these peoples belonging to Israel or to some degree or other being descended from Israel, even though they forgot about it and behaved in a way which is entirely non-Israelite. According to conventional thinking, they would not, they were exiled. Incidentally, these peoples were exiled because they were pagans, and they remained pagans after the exile. The Bible says they were exiled because they were pagans. In chapters 17 and 18 of the book, second book of Kings, it goes into detail of the pagan idolatry that these peoples practiced, and because of this they were exiled, and in their places of exile they continued to be pagans. They continued to maintain their Canaanite and Middle Eastern practices, but they also had some elements of genuine Hebraic worship that still remained with them. The, these peoples also have national characteristics which are of Israelites, and there's physical similarities. There's a lot of things which we can go into, and we will go into, and also we would like to hear your evidence. We would like to hear your points which you bring to confirm, or to, or if you wish, you can debate with us and try and confound us. We will reply to all different any questions you'd like to ask, anything whatsoever which is connected to what we have spoken of or is connected to the subject, preferably connected as directly as possible. We will try to answer them, and God willing we will do so, and we hope you are pleased with this series and what we have spoken of, because we wish to continue to spread this message, because this message is important. It is important to you, it is important to us, it is important to get this message out, and we definitely have much to talk about, and we definitely have information which is worth hearing, and the chances are that you will not hear it elsewhere. You might hear portions of it here and there, but you will not hear it as we present it, or will not hear it in the same way, presented as one coherent whole, with supplementary evidence from source, from rabbinical and archaeological and other secular sources. This is Yair Davidi signing off now from New Bambi in Israel. From our, look, go to our website www.britam.org. We are now signing off from, after speaking on behalf of Kosher Radio, of Kosher 101.9 around the world. All the best.